Well, tonight we have come together again to partake of the Lord's Supper. And this morning, some of you were not here this morning, so let me just briefly say something about the message this morning. In Luke 18, we're talking about the way that Jesus sort of stopped in the middle of his presentation of himself and talked to people about how they come to Jesus. In Luke 18 and Luke, the beginning of Luke 19, are the different ways in which we are to come to Christ. So there are different stories. And the story we looked at this morning was Jesus Christ telling them about going to Jerusalem and how he was going to be arrested and be tried and be suffering and be killed and then rise again the third day. And then there's an amazing thing because it says, and the disciples understood none of this. And it was hidden from them. And that hidden part is the act of God himself. In other words, they were told something that God hid them from fully understanding. And that is just amazing to me. And you think about that. And I talked about, because of that, you know that faith is a growing faith. We come to a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and our Savior. Because we are sinners, we come to him to be saved. And then our faith grows, and our understanding grows. The truth doesn't grow. The truth is the same, but our understanding of the truth becomes more apparent to us as time goes by. But the other thing that's very interesting about that is what I want to talk about this evening, and that is Jesus Christ talked about his death with the disciples before. And I want you to turn to John chapter 10, which is a famous passage on the Good Shepherd and two I am statements. I am the door of the sheep and I am the Good Shepherd. And I just want to look at this because this provides sort of the backdrop for Jesus talking to the disciples about saying, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, and I'm going to be raised again. Because here's a passage where they heard about this shepherd who cares for the sheep. The shepherd's job is to take care of the sheep so that nothing happens to them. So whatever they do, they are going to defend the sheep, take care of them. And the first part of this, the whole part of this John 10 is about the shepherd. The shepherd is first seen as the door, then the shepherd is seen as the one who defends and cares for the sheep. But it's the same shepherd. And, well, let me read the first part of this, verses 1 through 10. And this is the shepherd who, as, let me just give a brief picture of this. At night, the shepherds, several shepherds would come, and they would occupy the same sheepfold. And this sheepfold is just generally a circular kind of wall that is high enough to keep animals out, and it has an opening in the wall. And there may be three or four shepherds that bring their sheep to this fold. They're out in different places, but they come at night and they stay here. And three of the shepherds get to stay at the Holiday Inn. Just a little joke there, but not very good. But three of them get to stay at the Holiday Inn, and one of them sleeps in the door. He is the door. Because if the sheep would leave, they'd have to step on him. So he is the door, so he's supposed to be awake, and he's supposed to be watching the sheep. But if he slumbers and goes to sleep a little bit, because everything is calm, and if an animal approached, the sheep would be moving about, so that would sort of wake him up. But he is the door. And that's the first way in which this begins. And in the morning, the other shepherds come, and this is also significant to the story, and they come one at a time, and the shepherd comes, and he calls his sheep. Now, sheep are known to being very stupid. That's why it's a good illustration of what we are. But but they're very stupid. But they know the voice of their shepherd. And when the shepherd comes and he calls the sheep, they come out. And I've seen this with sheep. Not with my own eyes, but on a video. And there was a man who brought a bunch of people to a wide open field. And he said to the people one at a time, there's about four of them, he said, call the sheep. And they looked at him like, what do you mean, call the sheep? Well, say, call them. So the people were a little reluctant at first, so the first few were really reluctant, but they go, here, sheep, or come home, or, you know, they were just saying things about, it's time to come here, and, you know, nobody pays attention. So the next guy gets up, call the sheep. The next guy gets up, call the sheep. So then the shepherd, who brought these other people there, stands up, and he just yells out, time to come, or whatever he says. And all the sheep, it's amazing because they just start coming from all corners of this field. It's a huge field. Some have to come over the hill, but they're coming. And I know they know the shepherd's voice because also he's going to feed them. So that also makes them encouraging to come. It's special food time. But he calls his sheep, and they respond to him. They didn't respond to the others. And that's the way it is with these shepherds. They have their sheep. They call their sheep. They call them by name. And they come. So that's the understanding that the people had of sheepfolds in that day, except for the Holiday Inn. But those shepherds got to go and have a nice night of sleep. So here's the account that Jesus says, and he is facing persecution, and he talks to them, and he said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up in some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. That's how they enter. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things that he spoke to them. I mean, he's talking about sheep, but he's not talking about sheep. He's really talking about people. And he calls his sheep by name. But they have to come through him. The point is they come to the shepherd. They come to him. And when Jesus saves us, he calls us. There's a spiritual calling. And we respond to that spiritual calling. Because he is the shepherd, we come to him and we enter through him. And we follow him. And remember, this word for follow is the same exact word that Jesus used with the rich young ruler. And he says, sell all you have and follow me. It means to follow behind in agreement with. To follow, it's not just when he says follow me in the text of Scripture, and most often using this word, it's used here. Follow means to follow, but follow because you are agreeing with the person that you're following. It's not just you're walking behind him, but you're walking behind him because you're learning from him. Furthermore, in the case of Christianity, we are made to be one with the shepherd. We are baptized into the body of Christ. And so there's this following him is not just being behind and like the sheep. It's more than that because the sheep follow because it's the shepherd. They recognize his voice. We follow behind because we agree with him. We agree that he's the Son of God. We agree that he's the Savior. We agree that he's going to bring us to life, eternal life. We agree that he's bringing us to glory. And so Jesus is speaking to the sheepfold, and as he speaks to the Jews, they're not hearing him. And they're rejecting him, so he tells this account. But then he talks more about the shepherd. And Jesus said to them in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Then he says this. This is different than calling his sheep by name. In verse 7, he says, let me finish that part, but he says, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't hear them. I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So he's the door, and they come through him. And when you come through him, you receive life. And you receive life more abundantly. Another way of saying that is eternal life. So this is a wonderful shepherd. But then he describes more, and this also the disciples were hearing all of this. Because in verses 11 through 18, he talks about being the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. There are seven I am statements in John's gospel, and these are two of them. But he speaks of being the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he who is a hireling and not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As a father knows me, even so I know the Father. Now he's making the connection that what he's doing as the good shepherd is in connection with the Father. Father, the Son, the good shepherd, the sheep. And he's making this connection because he didn't say, I come to do my own thing. I'm doing something different than whatever it is the Father had in mind for me. But he's connecting everything that he's doing with the will of the Father, with the will of God. The Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down that I have power to lay it down and have power to take it again. This command I've received from the Father. So now he's talking about laying down his life for the sheep. So when Jesus was talking to the disciples and he says, we're going to Jerusalem, they're going to take me, they're going to kill me, in light of this particular passage, what they should understand is the reason why Jesus is going is because he's going to lay down his life for the sheep. And somehow in laying down his life for the sheep, and we might say the somehow is propitiation, reconciliation, and redemption, but somehow laying down his life for the sheep and the things that are taking place as he lays down his life for the sheep results in their salvation. And that's the wonderful thing that we realize about the shepherd. We realize that we enter in through Jesus, and we realize that he's the one who saves us by laying down his life in our place for our sins to secure our forgiveness. And then we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. This is the shepherd who cares for us. And the shepherd doesn't just care for us in salvation. He cares for us through all of life. He is the shepherd shepherding his sheep. Well, the people didn't really, some of the people objected to him saying these things, especially connecting himself with the Father and all the things that are taking place. And so they say, well, if you're the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered, and he sort of summed up this whole picture when he says, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe. This is a very strong statement. You do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. If you'll notice in verse 3, he says he calls his sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep. That call comes first, and then he says in verse 27, I call. This goes back and forth between what he does and what the sheep do. I call, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. There's that word again, follow in agreement with them. Follow the one who saves them. Follow the one who cares for them. Follow the one that gives entrance into the Father's presence. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. So it's what he does and what happens to them. What he does, what happens to them. What he does and what happens to them, three times. And my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So he's saying this is this is what God is doing. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, this is what the Godhead is doing with reference to this whole of salvation. I've come to lay down my life for my sheep. And this is a wonderful salvation that he accomplishes. And in that statement, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. They also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. And you say, well, I'm saved. I don't remember hearing his voice. I said, well, you did hear his voice. Because this is the calling that takes place in our hearts. And he calls us to come to him. Why are we saved? Because he calls us. He's the good shepherd. He's the door. We come through him. And when we come through him, he takes care of us. He gives us life. He gives us eternal life. He cares for us every day. He provides for us. We are here because of the shepherd. And this is wonderful truth. So when you look at this passage and say, you know, if the disciples just heard Jesus Christ three times say, I'm going to Jerusalem, and he said it in all three of the Gospels, three times in each of the Gospels. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be put on trial. They're going to convict me. I'm going to, and sometimes he'd mention the Jews doing this. Sometimes he'd mention the Gentiles doing this. Sometimes he'd just mention it being done. They're going to take me, they're going to kill me, and 3 days later, I'm going to be raised from the dead. This is the good shepherd speaking. And he could have said that to the disciples, but it was hidden from them. They just didn't grasp it. They weren't going to grasp it until the Holy Spirit was indwelling them and teaching them and opening their eyes to see, and that's when they had the big aha moment. They go, oh, we get that. Because when it says they didn't comprehend it, it says they couldn't put the pieces together. They were looking for the kingdom. They were trying to figure out what he's talking about with reference to the Son of Man and how he is going to die. And yet somehow this kingdom, we're looking forward, they're looking forward to the kingdom, and they're saying, you know, this kingdom is coming. But there is no kingdom without eternal life. Well, there would be a kingdom. It would be a kingdom with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, no one else. All the rest of us would die forever. But Jesus saves us. The Good Shepherd saves us. Why? Saves us for his kingdom forever. To be forever in the presence of God. In a state of forgiveness. In a state of righteousness. In a state of holiness. In a state of glory. We have no idea the greatness of the way in which the shepherd is going to care for us. It's terrific. It's beyond our comprehension when we speak of the eternal care of the eternal God for our eternal life. Amazing. But that's the hope that we have. And we're the sheep. And the disciples were prevented from hearing that message for God's purposes. But we are wide open with the Holy Spirit teaching that truth to our hearts. And when we come to the table, we are remembering Christ. Christ in us, Christ for us, Christ accomplishing his purposes. And Jesus Christ says, never forget me. Never forget the Good Shepherd. Never forget the Father. Never forget what is being accomplished for us. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died to save us. The bread that we eat does not save us. The bread represents Jesus broken for us, broken at the cross, who did save us. We're not remembering bread, we're remembering Jesus. And the cup of blessing is a remembrance of the new covenant blessings that Jesus gives to us so freely. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, a new heart, a desire inwardly for the things of God, the full forgiveness of our sins accomplished, and the blessings that just flow. We're baptized into the body of Christ. There are so many blessings that God gives to us. So we're saying his death gives us his blessings, and we have both in Christ. And without Christ, we have none.